Hey everyone, welcome back to the Film Fund podcast. I'm your host, founder and executive producer at the Film Fund, Thomas Verity. I'm also an award-winning filmmaker, producer, and film festival judge. I started the Film Fund to give artists and filmmakers an easier, alternative way to get their film funded. Instead of working on a screenplay, crowdfunding campaign, or grant application, you write one sentence pitching your film for a chance to receive up to $10,000 and other prizes to make it. Our winter 2021 narrative and documentary contests are now open, so check us out at thefilmfund.co to enter your one sentence pitch for a chance to receive up to $10,000 and other prizes to make your film. That includes Kitsplit gift cards, Adobe Creative Cloud subscriptions, and maybe we'll even throw some sponsors in there if I can get some emails and phone calls out and wrangle them up. We've had things like post-production prizes and some equipment rental packages as well from rental houses. So stay tuned and check out our email list for the most up-to-date information on all the prizes. So I want to remind you that contests do happen regularly. So if you are listening at a later date, check the website at thefilmfund.co for the most up-to-date information. Today we have Brandon Harrison, one of our amazing Film Fund judges. Brandon's a producer, writer, and programmer. He's a feature documentary programmer at the Brooklyn Film Festival, served on the review committee for IFP, as well as Tribeca's pilot season, and has produced multimedia content for a variety of other outlets, including Players Tribune, Vanity Fair, and Slam Magazine. He's a graduate of Morehouse College and received his MA in cinema from UCLA, which I hear is a pretty good school. So, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad to have you on the judging panel. It's been an awesome experience. I was wondering if you could provide a little background yourself as well.
Well, you know, UCLA is it's a great school, they say. Some people say, no, it's a good experience, all jokes aside. But, yeah, I mean, I've been on a journey, man. I've always loved film since I was trying to make my polite language, I didn't want to swear.
No, you can swear. There's a little, when I upload it, there's a little like checkbox where you can check if it's explicit or not. So if somebody says the F word or something, we just check that little box. No, it's all good.
I was just going to say that, you know, growing up, I was making my shitty little films. Okay. I was trying to make with my camera. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, went to film school. Undergrad, we didn't really have much of that. But I did a program actually at UCLA. It was supposedly like, undergrad program where you would go out there for the summer and meet with the grad programs and stuff. Mm. And I did a film project because I was an English major, so I didn't want to read another book.
I was an English major too.
I was going to do something about film because I was being lazy. Yeah. And they liked it. And I met with a whole bunch of the staff and the committee over there before I even got a chance to go. So I ended up there, and I did grad school, realized that I hated it, and was just trying to find my way in the industry, man. So I feel like I've pretty much every side of filmmaking in some extent, at some part or another, because I, like, from grad school, like, I interned at Overbrook Entertainment with Will Smith.
That oh, wow. Was
wild. And, yeah. And then, like, I did that, and then simultaneously I was teaching film, and then I got a gig out of grad school. I was teaching film in Miami, and then I had in that experience I had deaf students, so I started to like do all my own captioning and crap like that for them, and that took me to doing a lot of audio description work and stuff like that, to the point where I'm all over Netflix. If you go to audio description,
really,
option.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've like done tons of those. And
that's a funny way to get into it. So how did you get into captioning? I had these deaf students. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was like, I don't want to type this much, but that's how I got doing an audio for the blind, actually. So, but yeah, man, I've just done a ton of different stuff, and now programming for number of festivals, Brooklyn, Doc NYC, Tribeca. I'm actually just recently started at Nashville as well. So
did I forget to name drop Tribeca in the beginning?
No,
I did say
that.
Okay.
I don't know if I put that. Yeah, Tribeca. But this year, you know, like in the intro there, it's a little, I had updated, but pilot season, it's a little shifted, a little different this year. So it's just a lot of cool original online stuff, online work now. So that's great. feel like I'm rambling. So
I feel like that's what a podcast is. You ramble about stuff for a half hour, hour or so. Well, that's all awesome. Just listening to your background about film school, did you get, was that a production degree or was it more of a cinema studies degree?
No, it was a studies degree, which is a funny thing because if we're trying to, I don't know, school people a little bit about how this stuff works, I didn't know what I was doing and I kind of had an inkling that I didn't want to do studies, but I didn't know anything about school or what I was supposed to do next. So I was like, I'm going to go to grad school because people do that, right? Whatever. Mm. And when I did that, I applied to like all of the big grad schools in film. So like I applied to NYU, I applied to SC, and I applied to UCLA. And the reason, and I ended up getting in all three, the reason I went to UCLA, one is because I had been there, but also because theoretically cheaper. But I was like, I don't know if I want to, you know, what read about books or film. Like, I want to have some practical knowledge. And USC said you could do that as well, but it was also very tracked. Like, if you're going to be a producer, you have to be a producer. Right. You know, you have to be director. You have to be a screenwriter. And UCLA was like, listen, I know this is a studies degree, but you can basically take any of those other courses you want to take.
I see.
You can do film making, directing. You can do producing. You can do screenwriting. So I just took all those courses.
More flexible.
I could. So I didn't have to just read about, you know, Foucault and all that kind of crazy.
Right. How has that, I guess, educational background, has that impacted your journey on becoming a festival programmer? Or how did you fall into that?
I mean, that's another, you know, I fell in a lot of things. But I was in Los Angeles for a while, and I was like, I might come back to New York. You know, my family's out here, blah, blah, blah. And I was just looking for things to do. I was like, hey, I can help screen. And this is what happens to a lot of people. You know, if you are interested in that, you can help screen. If you get paid to help screen, that's even better. But Brooklyn was looking for help, and they had a big changeover. And they're like, well, you know, you have a master of film. Like, do you just want to program instead of screening? And I was like, sure. So started doing that. Started doing shorts first, and then the features, and it's been great.
That's awesome. So you're mostly the programmer for documentaries at Brooklyn Film Festival, right?
Yeah, primarily feature doc.
Could you talk to me a little bit about the difference between documentary filmmaking and narrative filmmaking? I mean, I know they're so different. I'm not a documentary filmmaker, but
well. I mean, I think it depends on what, because story is the primary thing in any project.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're making a film, what your expectations are for the final piece or the final project is just like, as a documentarian, you don't really know that. And as a, you know, narrative filmmaker, a lot of that is what you've planned. You have a script. You have a number of people you hopefully hired that are there going to be there for this many days. You have to get this shoot done in this amount of time. And then we have a schedule for our editing. And these things can drag, but you have more of a concrete control over the projects you're trying to make, the vision, the actors, all this. So it could be, you know, a lot more taxing on you and might require a lot more extensive leadership in the ways of collaboration, while a documentary project could be, it's really both processes require a certain level of, you know, auteur energy. You know, it's going to take one person's juice to really make it finish and complete the work. But in a documentary field, that's a lot more real, because the probability that people believe in it is a lot lower. And even if it is, and this is, you know, coming at a lower level, you know, you're getting paid by Netflix to talk to, I don't know, Obama. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of juice behind you. But if you just have a great story and you're making a film, then it's going to require really your own personal gumption and energy. And I have somebody who's made a couple of docs myself, like, it, you know, that process is just different. And in terms of story, you just don't know. You might think you know where it's gonna go, but you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good point. I guess it's more open-ended because you're chronicling something I mean, it would depend on the doc, but like, let's say you're chronicling something present in real time, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't really know where the story is going to go, or you could uncover something. Talking out of my ass a little bit, I've never done a documentary before, but I've watched a bunch, so there's that. But yeah, I mean, it's, you mentioned something really interesting too. Comparing documentaries and narratives, I mean, they're both about story. They both have story, obviously. And I think a lot of people grow up, myself included, thinking like, oh, a documentary that's like for the classroom and it's this boring history lesson, you know, but then you get a little bit more wisdom and you get exposed to some really cool docs, you know, like there's I forget the exact title of it, Dogtown and Z-Boys is like one of my favorite documentaries of all time.
And it's skateboard parks, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like
the early years of that.
Yeah, if that was the documentary they showed me in third grade instead of like, you know, the Revolutionary War, maybe I wouldn't be like, oh, docs. But I think it's so...
Oh, man, I love war docs.
I mean, I do, too. Now I do, too. I like them now, too. But, like, you know, I don't know. I just have an image in my head of, like, documentaries and them being... Some people think maybe they're boring, and they're not. Because they're all about... It all depends on the story that you're telling, and you can make anything interesting and captivating, depending on what that story is.
Man. Tiger King's the biggest
media thing. I know. And we get amazing... doc entries as well through the film fund, and it's always, it's like, wow, these are super interesting. And it's people getting to the root of the story, I think, is what's really important there. Speaking about film fund entries, do you have any memorable contest entries from the film fund?
Oh, wow, man. Yeah, you're putting me on the spot with that one. I wish I could give you, because there's so many, man. You know,
I know.
It's, like, oh,
it's so difficult, too.
It'd
so that's okay.
It'd be great, though, you know, the next cycle to just see... I would love to see like what people like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll always, for the listeners out there, we release the winning sentences after the films are produced and released on our website. So you'll be able to see them as well once we do get around to publishing them and everything with COVID settles down and people can shoot their shit.
Right.
So about entries, related question. What do you look for in a good entry, in a good pitch?
Well, this is funny because, you know, this is too pronged answer, because it has to be succinct in a way that explains everything that you have, but also, you know, I mean, when you're working on a narrative, people talk about log lines and putting everything in there like that, but that exists for the doc world too. Give me a good subject, give me a good scenario. If you have access to something interesting, tell me who it is. Don't be coy and say, we have, you know, a big figure. Say who it is. Tell me, like,
yeah.
Tell me everything that you would need to know. Let me know what you actually need to make this film. Like,
yeah,
be clear in a way that it's not like, oh, we need all these things. Like, if you're super in the beginning stages, it lets me know that you're just like, you're just shooting your shot, which is fine. Shoot your shot. But it's like, there's other people that are more prepared, more thoughtful. And that happens in every single thing you do. And if you really feel like you're just shooting one out for the wind, you know, then don't have expectations. But the more energy you put into it in a way and thoughtfulness you put into it, you can, you know, zone in on all the important points people want to see. So story, is the story there? Like, you can craft the story and what we can expect in one sentence. The plot, the characters, the access, and what you need and want. Where you are in your production. So those are things I would look for. And can I just say a random aside? This is a general aside.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is a little, I don't want to call it, I mean, it's a little harsh, but I watch so much shit over the course of a year, right? And I don't say that to say it's bad things, but people just submit stuff. And you just see things and you're like...
In the film festival programming, you mean?
In the world, you know, particularly the film festival programming world. And people are, let's say this year's 2021, how many COVID related documentaries do you think that people have made?
Oh my God.
And so when you're like, you know, I don't know, you're about to submit a COVID documentary about two people who are dealing with COVID boredom in quarantine and how they coped with it, really consider how different or unique or do you have a particular angle? What makes a story engaging?
Yep.
Why is it worth being told? Because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those, and there's some of them aren't even in quality. So just know that don't throw your, you know, your drop of water in the sea, especially if you don't feel like it's something that you're proud of, you want people to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's definitely important to make things, especially if you can make things over quarantine. But if you're really nailing down a festival strategy and you really think you want to do something with this project, I mean, don't just like
Yeah,
spray
it could
and
be just for
pray.
fun. You want to make stuff, make stuff.
Yeah,
But
because it's important to hone that
you
creative muscle. But there's gonna be a lot of COVID stories for sure. But what I
Yeah,
do
don't
like.
foist it on. Don't foist your muscle on me.
Yeah, I don't want to watch anything COVID related for a very long time. One thing you said was the log line and really narrowing down what your project's about and the premise and the conflict and what you need. And that's why I like the one sentence concept so much, because it really forces you to do that. And I've talked to
Yeah.
a lot of our winners too, and they said, that was like even non-winners. I've talked to people who've entered, and whether they're finalists or just people in the community who have entered and their project didn't get picked. And we still keep in touch with everyone on the Discord server. They say, I loved the exercise of having to pitch my story and what I need to make this happen in one sentence. It was really hard. Like, it sounds easy, and yeah, we say you can enter in seconds, but to really craft a good sentence really makes you think, like, what is my project about? What is the story about that's so compelling? Like,
I mean,
even
that's
in
an
your
old
example,
axiom, right?
what's that? Yeah.
That's an old axiom, about, restrictions creating
Exactly.
real art or whatever.
Yeah. We'll butcher it. I don't know the exact saying, but
I
I
don't
know
know.
what you're
Something
talking
like that.
about. Yeah, and it's such a great exercise to try to fit that all into one sentence. And it goes back to the COVID example you were talking about. If like you were just kind of off the cuff there, but say that was a project you were pitching to me, like two people in quarantine are bored and they're dealing with the pandemic. We're not gonna fund that. Like, that's not, there's
Right.
nothing compelling there. But I'm not gonna make up something. For some reason, the word unicorn popped in my head, and I was gonna say like two COVID people discover a unicorn, but I don't know, something, there has to be something interesting and something compelling there in that one sentence. And I think actually writing it down, you could have an amazing script, but and that could be a COVID script and it could be great, but if you don't extract what is actually unique and compelling from that
What's the
script and
kernel of the
put it into the
story that
sentence
makes
as the
it?
kernel, yeah, then we're not gonna see that as a great pitch. Talk to me about championing, wow, I butchered that word, championing black voices in cinema. Obviously that's a very important part of our mission, is to fund filmmakers regardless of their background. But what are your thoughts on the state of diversity in film?
Broad. That was a lot. So,
Yeah.
did you see those new Paramount commercials where they're talking about the mountain of content? There's a mountain of
Oh,
there's a
yeah.
mountain of thoughts about championing the state of black film. I would say it's about trying to for me, find the stories that are stories that black filmmakers are making, and that there are genuine stories. Because, like, I mean, I don't want to sound harsh or cold again, but when you watch a lot of stuff, you can tell, I guess, people who are making things that are creatives and artists and are trying to, like, tell a story. You can tell who are people that are just telling something that's kind of rote and generic and kind of fits with tonally what they think people would expect, and you can feel that. And you can tell people that are already creatives and that have done it that are top-down re-engineering what feels should fit the moment or whatever like that. So I think, for Film Fund and whatever organization, you're trying to find those people that are who want to make that, who want to tell something novel, that do want to just reveal something about black experience, and experience for any group that is just trying to humanize their story in a way that is from that filmmaker's perspective and doesn't really just fit some tropey things that people are expecting to get right now. So I mean, I feel like that's my approach.
Well, I mean, it
Uh,
sounds
it's
like what you're
just
saying is it's important to be genuine and tell a real story that gets something.
Yeah, but also like across. For the filmmaker's perspective as well, because it's like you can, especially with documentary. I mean, it happens as well in narrative, but it's like, well, here's two examples, right? You have a documentary film that's great, but it's like, you know, it's by like a esteemed, not even a white filmmaker. Let's say it's by a filmmaker, and this is taking race outside of it, that's foreign, and you're getting, you know, your national government is funding you to come to America and find this story, and then it's like, oh great, look at these little poor people, they're interesting, and then it's like, well, maybe it's the most proficient or well-made film, it's great, but it's like, whose story is that, who's telling that story? So it's being mindful of that when you're trying to choose projects and think things. And then on the flip side, like something recently, let's say narrative wise Malcolm Marie comes out on Netflix. It's just, honestly, as a film, it's more of a representation of industrial gumption. We're going to make a project during quarantine, and we're going to fund all our crew, and we're going to do it. Sam Levinson wants to work with Zendaya again and do something, even though things are shut down. Cute. Great. Fun. But it's like, all right, this is really just like a Sam written story. Now it has two back leads. Okay, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. It's fine. But it's not really a story that's going to really champion, you know, any sort of thoughtful, creative outlet from a Black person or a person of anything. So I think that's, it's really about the mind behind it, the writer, the writing. I hope that wasn't a ramble.
No, this is great. I mean, it is a ramble, but it's a ramble in the right direction.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
Meandering. But.
No, I mean, that's great. And I think it is about the writing, and that's why we ask for written pitches, as opposed to we experimented with video submissions a few years ago. I think we got one. Some guy tried to give his entire like pitch in like kind of like the super sped up speech you hear at the end of a like radio commercial with all the disclaimers.
Oh yeah.
He's like, I gotta get this because it was like a 30-second time limit, and he tried to get everything in. But that was a little sidebar. But yeah, the writing is important, and that's what we care about. We care about that conflict and that premise, and you know, is this project actually something that has meat to it? Because we'll see sometimes entries that say like, oh, we have so-and-so name actor, or we have this actor, you know, Black or not, whatever the project is. But I think it's kind of related to that. You said like, oh, this project has two Black leads. Sometimes the pitches will mention, you know, like, I won't use the exact example, but, you know, XYZ actor is attached, or this distributor is interested. And like, that's great. And that's awesome. And maybe that could help further your project a bit, because it shows that it has some legs. But at the end of the day, we're interested in the core of the story, not, you know, really who, what name you can attach to it. I think that's really important.
And I mean, I don't want to be presumptive, Tom, but like, you know, if you put that in your pitch, it's like, why do you need it? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So-and-so.
If you have, yeah, this right. is a made-up name.
The producer actor.
Yeah. Right? If you have Will Ferrell in your film, why are you submitting to the Film Fund in the first place? No, I don't know.
Good question.
What advice would you give to filmmakers?
Wow, bro, I feel like I gave a lot of gems. That's
you did.
Nice.
You we have we are in a quarry right now.
That's great. We got, you know, cubic zirconiums and emeralds, all that good stuff. My advice, make something good. And what I mean by that is that if you have a project you're working on and you feel strongly about the way it's going, you put the energy and time, you know, like, you know, when you're looking, you might not, let's say you write your sentence and you don't feel strong about it, but you know your project is good, rework it, keep figuring out the best way to explain what your work is, because, you know, if it's a film fund or not, if it's a quality product and idea, you're going to need to be doing that constantly and constantly and constantly until somebody cares or gives it after you put it on the internet and somebody likes it. So you're going to constantly work on it. So be mindful that you're always sharpening and try not to you know, wear yourself out if you really believe in it, because, you know, we can always get worn out or tired or just over a project that may be valid. So if you really feel good about a work, keep plugging at it, keep, you know, sharpening the edges. And, you know, make sure that it's quality. Make sure that you take the time. And then for me, I made a couple films. I know my first couple films, like, were not that good. They weren't.
I talked about that on the last episode. The first short film I ever did, it is buried on a hard drive somewhere. No one will ever see that.
And that happens.
But like, they're still important to make. No,
yes, because you know, like, so next time you're like, oh, that was, I will never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to finish a short right now that I made. I went to South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And I was trying to finish a short documentary. I was like, it's going to be short. It's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I will never try to produce a short in another country that barely, like, how am I going to get my drives? How am I going to get the video files? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and you're like, oh, the internet's slow. It'll take like 8 to 9 days to get this one. Like, I was like, oh, why did I do that? But those are the type of things that you learn or you realize that impede you or all these sort of things that happen. So,
mm-hmm.
Just because you like finish your first thing and you're like, oh, I made it, some people want to see this, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but assess, have a genuine assessment. If you need to show it to people, like with your family or friends or somebody, or people to just be honest with you, fellow filmmakers, or you're in a film group, talk to other people, they'll tell you these stories, just and they'll help you, and you can maybe speed up your process of acclimating to what you know is best. Or, and that goes for people that are a little more seasoned as well. Like, there's always little gems you get from your community and things you learn. So
yeah, absolutely.
Stay consistent.
I definitely am a huge fan of sharing your films, even if they're, you know, they're one of your first films or if they're your 50th film. I think there's always constructive feedback to be gleaned from the community. And the Film Fund is a big believer in sharing work, whether it's, you know, something super polished that you had a $20,000 budget for, or if you made it in your mom's basement, you can go to thefilmfund.co/auteurs, that's AUTEURS, and submit your work, and we will feature it on our community, because I just think it's so important for film to be watched. You know, whether it's going to go anywhere or not, sharing that with the community is important. You can, if you're an entrant and a member of our community, you can also share it on the Discord server. You know, there are a bunch of channels there. People post their work all the time. Say, hey, what do you think? And they get constructive feedback. And I think that's just such an important part of it too, because you need to put your work out there. And I think as you continue to create things, you get a sense of what is good. Like, do I believe in this project? Like you were saying, is this good, or is this something I'm tired of? And I think showing that to people and really seeing how they react to your work really helps you hone that internal confidence, really, when you're creating something. What do you have in plan for the future? Might be a little hard to say with the pandemic, but
future, what's that? No. All right, hellscape. I don't I don't know, man. I mean, you, what do you mean?
Anything? Festival programming? Your own projects? What are you having for dinner?
Yeah, you know. When I'm having dinner, I made moussaka, so it was great.
You made what?
Moussaka.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, the Greek pie thing.
It's like the eggplant thing, right?
Yeah, eggplant, ground beef.
Oh, right. That sounds good.
But in terms of film, I was trying to finish up that short, so hopefully that gets in a few schools this year that aren't related to mine. It's weird conflicts of interest when you're a festival programmer. You're like, well, I can't do all these places, but that's fine.
Right.
Hopefully seeing a lot of amazing films. It's been a little, I feel like the hit that production took over the past year, it's really just made like it be sort of a grab bag of stuff people have sent out, and it's just been really interesting. Hopefully there's like some really cool gems that pop up, but I feel like it's been difficult this year. So
Have you seen any submissions yet from the festivals, or is that process not really started yet for you?
No, I mean, I've started, especially for Brooklyn and Tribeca as well. You know, there's always the well-produced money stuff, but sometimes it's like, oh wow, this guy just made something really cool, and I feel like that's been really hampered by COVID, which kind of sucks,
you know? Yeah, that is good to know, though. I mean, COVID aside, that the, you know, the Kevin Smiths of the world, that is still possible. you know, say I submit something to Tribeca, it's going to be watched. And even if I shot it with a very low budget,
I will tell the world this. If you make something, somebody is watching it. It's getting, the eyes are getting on it.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't hurt us.
Have you ever seen that documentary, Official Rejection?
No.
So I watched it more than a few years ago, but it's about this guy who, you know, pours his heart and soul into his film, and he submits it to a bunch of major festivals and gets rejected, and then kind of does like an expose on the film festival world and says how it's all, you know, mini majors submitting their work, and you know, Kevin Smith's in it, and he says like, yeah, if I made Clerks today, I don't know if it would get into Sundance. And it's a very jaded kind of view of the film festival world.
I mean, we could pull back the veil a little bit. I mean, like, there's always that dynamic between like full-fledged production companies, mm-hmm. and the money and all that stuff, and the, you know, grant sphere and huge grants and the Sundances and how they fund, like, yeah, that thing exists.
Mm-hmm.
And movies cost money to make.
Yep.
So that is a dynamic. But in terms, like, we always go back to story, there's stories that especially in documentary, it's a lot harder to do it in features because of just the amount of money is needed. Support is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But in documentary, you find a really great story, then it's yours. And a lot of the time, the money is come till later. Like, so-and-so, this is on Netflix. But yeah, they shot 90% of that. Then they got a grant at the end to get an editor. You know, like, mm-hmm. that's a lot of that is what happens. So, you know, it's easy to be jaded, but it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process on both sides.
I think the soundbite there is someone out there watching your work when you submit it.
There is.
Because that's so important. Because so many people worry about that. There are articles. It's like how to track your film in Vimeo to make sure that the festivals are actually watching it. And, you know, it's good to know that at least the festivals you're involved with, you're actually watching the films.
Yes.
Brandon, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us today. Just a reminder, we have our current contest open. Let me pull up the deadline because I am blanking on it. They close in March. Oh, no, I remember. March 30th. I'm a very on-the-ball CEO and producer today. A lot going on. March 30th, 2021 is the deadline. Get your entries in. Currently open for narrative and documentary submissions. So remember to check thefilmfund.co to submit your entry and stay up to date. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the podcast. Remember to check our social channels as well, where you can learn about our prizes, such as winning up to $10,000 in cash money for your film, as well as Kitsplit gift cards and Adobe Creative Cloud subscriptions. And maybe we'll get a few more prizes as well. If we do, we'll be sure to update you via the email newsletter and social media. You can also check the website regularly for the most up-to-date information. You can also check out our blog at thefilmfund.co/blog, which is filled with great filmmaking and producing tips. So check that out, sign up for the newsletter, follow us on social to stay up-to-date on what's happening at the Film Fund. Brandon, thank you so much again. Do you have anything else to add before we wrap up?
Everybody, submit great, great pitches that are well written, and just make stuff. Like Tom was saying, just don't be, you know, I mean, be safe, be COVID appropriate, and be safe. But you know, it's always good to make new, cool stuff. Have a good time. Tell stories.
Love it. Thanks so much, Brandon. And yes, make your sentences good because it makes our job a little bit more fun, even if it's difficult when we're judging the sentences. Thanks again for listening. You can tune in every Friday for new episodes, and I will talk to everybody later.